Great to be with you. You know, I'm not really sure how it happened, but by the grace of God, I like to say. But at this point, in the six members of our immediate family, we have about four who have either attended or will graduate from Biola University. My daughter, Jessica, graduated from Biola a little over a year ago. She met her husband there, Andy, and he graduated from there as well, my new son. And then my son Josh is a sophomore there, and I think he'll graduate if he doesn't have too much fun there. No, he's doing really well over there as well. And then I graduated from Biola. Anyone want to guess what year I graduated from college in? Come on, let's hear it. 1942. Oh, come on. Come on, where's the kindness out there? Come on, let's... 92. Who said 92? Right over there. He got me. 92. Now, you need to understand, I was a child prodigy and graduated at the age of 10, so you can do the math. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. But when I was there, they had chapels, and they still do to this day, and we get to be exposed to national Christian speakers all around, really around the world. It was a huge, huge encouragement as a young man in the Lord. But chapel was required. You had to go to a certain amount every year. So they took roll call. They took attendance. And I'm sure now it's digital or something. Like you walk in and they scan your forehead, like going to Amazon or something. But this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that really is a roll call of sorts. It's a list of names. And a lot of times when you think of a list of names of faith in the New Testament, most people think of Hebrews chapter 12 and the great hall of fame of faith and that whole list that is there. But this morning, we're going to look at another hall of fame of faith of names, and it's found in Romans 16 verses 1 through 16. And you might be sitting there thinking, you know, in the short time we've spent in Romans, of all of the great theologically rich passages that you could choose, John, why would you choose this list of names at the end of the book of Romans? And there's really two-part answer to that question. One part is, I'm just weird that way. It's okay, I understand it. The other part is, I actually really believe that understanding this list of names is important to understanding the greater story of redemption that Jesus Christ is writing in this world, and us understanding where our name fits in to that greater story as well is incredibly important. So why don't you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? We are in Romans 16, starting in verse 1. And I'm just going to let you know, it's a longer passage. You may need to hold on to your seat for a minute, because I'm going to read the whole thing. I want you to hear all the names. So here we go. I commend, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome, okay? He says, I commend to you our sister, Phoebe. And now, by the way, this is not Phoebe Buffay from Friends, just any of you out there. If it was, she'd have a song for us probably. But Phoebe, this is who she is, a servant of the church in Cenchreae, which to me sounds like a Mediterranean appetizer, but it is actually a real, real place in the world, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many of myself as well. So Phoebe is like the MVP of the church in Rome. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epenectetus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia to have his appendix out. No, it doesn't say that, but it sounds like that. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. So, you know, in every church, there's a Mary. She may not have that name, but really, they're the person that makes everything happen and never takes credit for it. Every church has a few of those. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelitus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, who's probably a city guy, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. And I'm thinking they're either twins or their parents just lost creativity at the end there with the naming. But greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Protobus, Hermas, who all sound like Greek philosophers or major diseases, one or the other, and brothers who are with him, the brothers who are with him. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints who are with him. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And right there, some of you are like really thankful that we do handshakes and awkward side hugs here. We don't do holy kisses. All the churches of Christ greet you. What a list of names. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we take a greater look at this list, this roll call from the Apostle Paul, Lord, it is our greatest desire to lift up your great name, Jesus. And Lord, in so doing, to also understand where our name fits into your greater story. And so we ask you to help us to do that today. And we give this time to you. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Just a couple reminders as I begin. If you weren't here last Sunday, we handed out devotionals for the 40 days of Lent that began this last Wednesday. And so if you didn't get one, too bad. We're all out of them. So sorry. No, I'm just kidding. You can go online and you can download a PDF version of that devotional. We're actually out of the hard copies. But every day there's a psalm to read, a reflection to consider, and a prayer. And we'd love to have you join us as we approach celebrating the resurrection this Easter. And also, as Carrie and Christine said, we are in the final moments of taking signups for our Shaped Conference. We have an incredible group coming. Last I checked, we had somewhere around 325 people, and one of the staff members was daring me that we couldn't get over 350 today, so I'm hoping some of you will help us out. It is going to be an incredible day, and as your pastor, kind of selfishly, I hope you're all there, just because I think it's going to be a really special moment in the Lord for us. Preston Perry, one of our speakers, he's a younger theologian, I like to say. He's a very casual person, but he has this God-given ability to connect great theological truth to great life change in the Lord. He's also a poet, which is really fun how he does that when he shares. And then also, we have Ann Voskamp, who in many ways is just a storied Christian leader in our country and has influenced people so greatly. And her devotion for the Lord, I mean, it's captivating. And so we just can't wait to share both of them with you. And the worship is going to be through the roof. We're kind of pulling out all the stops for that. And so hope you can be a part. As we get closer, it's harder to sign you up. We have a kind of buy a limited amount of lunches. So sign up today if you haven't signed up. And don't forget what Carrie and Christine said, that the conference is on March 7th, which is Saturday. It's half day. And then on Sunday, March 8th, it's Daylight Savings Day, the one that you all really love, where you lose an hour of sleep. And so we like to do an all-together service on that day. And so we'll only have one service on March 8th. That's not next Sunday, but the one after. And it'll be at what time? 10 a.m. So on March 8th, Sunday, whether you come to the conference or not, church is only at 10 a.m. So we'll see you there. Well, back to Romans. Well, I hope you didn't feel guilty if your heart wasn't jumping for joy as I read that list of names in that passage. And if I were a betting person, which I'm not, but if I were, I would wager a pretty safe bet that none of you have your life verse from this particular passage. So anybody have their life verse from Romans 16, 1 through 16? Yeah, I didn't think so, all right? When you read this list, at first it sounds like a list of strange names. At least they're strange to us. And it's almost like the Apostle Paul is taking roll call in the Roman church as he's writing to them. And really in this list, we're given a profile, a snapshot of the church in Rome that Paul is writing to. Because in this list, we have a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla. Her name is said Prisca in this passage, but it's the same Aquila and Priscilla from the book of Acts. It's just the official way of saying it. There's a son, Rufus, and his mother. There are brothers, Andronicus and Junius. There are sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. There is an older man, Epaenetus. There's a single woman by the name of Mary, and there's a single man, Herodian. And it really is this snapshot of this group of people in Rome that have been reached for Christ, They're following him, worshiping him, and living out the Great Commission together. But for Paul, it is not just a list. Each name represents a moment and a memory with someone who is very special in his life, a piece of the gospel story that God has been writing around the Apostle Paul, where the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus comes to us through people. And I, you know, think about it, you know, there's always this person who introduced you to the Lord or encouraged you in your faith or who God brings across your path in different seasons, sometimes for a short moment of impact, sometimes for a really long season of impact, telling us that behind every changed life is a faithful name. Behind every changed life for Christ is a faithful name, because God uses real people with real names to declare his great name. And I imagine the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, he's actually in Corinth at the time, staying at the home of a man by the name of Gaius. And he's preparing to travel west through Italy and Spain. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's getting ready to go. He's feeling like he's got, you know, more ministry life in him. He's somewhere around 59 or 60 years old, and you know, he doesn't pack much. He always traveled light, and all of a sudden, as he's preparing, he's thinking of these people who have had impact in his life in Christ, and that he has had impact on Will. And we all have this happen at sometimes where you're just doing something and boom, this name comes to mind. And it's someone in your life that God placed there that either you had an impact on for the Lord, or they had an impact on you, or mutually together in that, these significant moments where the Lord is growing us. And I think a list like this causes us to stop for a moment and just thank the Lord for whoever our gospel list is in our life right now. In fact, would you do that just between you and the Lord? Just think of a few of the names that are on your gospel list. And maybe you're newer to faith and your list is just getting started, but give God thanks for whoever those people may be. I think about some of the people on my gospel list. My mom, Nancy, she for sure gets a mention. She led me to Jesus at the age of 7. I knelt at her bedside and accepted Christ into my life. She also led my dad to the Lord many years before that. Another person in my life that's on my gospel list is Jess Schaefer. He was a volunteer youth worker in the high school ministry at the church that I grew up in. He led the freshman guys my freshman year of high school, and so he was my core group leader. He was funny. He was a little crazy. He was a college student. And he had really just come to the Lord a little bit before that time. And every time he'd learn something about Scripture or about the Lord, he would tell us about it. He was so passionate. Plus, he worked at Togo's and made sandwiches and brought us free sandwiches, which is always a good plus as a high schooler. Another guy on my gospel list is Mark Olmos. He was the youth pastor of the church that I served in as a volunteer while I was a college student at Biola. So I was a core group leader in that youth group. And Mark was the first guy to see something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he asked me to give my very first message of my life. And I was supposed to be about 20 minutes long to our youth ministry. It ended up being about 7.5 minutes long because I was so nervous. And if I communicated anything, it was that I was absolutely nervous. But Mark didn't give up on me. And a little bit after that, he asked me to be an intern in that youth ministry. And he would meet with me, just the two of us. He'd open up his Bible and he would teach me about Jesus. And he would talk to me about the life of what it means to follow him. He discipled me. He mentored me. And he saw something in me that I hadn't even seen in myself yet at that time. And I could go on and on, but I wonder for you this morning, who is on your roll call list? Who is on your gospel list of the story that God's writing in your life? Because what Paul is writing here in this moment is not just a list to him. These are people that are incredibly, incredibly important to him in the whole story of the gospel that God was writing around him. And he's remembering them and how they influenced him and how he was an influence on them. In fact, look at some of the comments that he says, because I actually think there's a lesson for all of us from just about every person that he names here. Let's just look at a few this morning. Verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. So Paul says, Aquila and Priscilla stuck their necks out for him. Before he ever had reputation in the Lord, before anyone else around him believed that he had moved from being a Jesus persecutor and hater to a Jesus follower and lover, before he had any fruit in his life, they stuck their necks out for him and began to invest in him. And not only that, listen to this carefully, as a couple together, they taught him the Bible. They taught him the scriptures. So much so, all these years later, the Apostle Paul is not only thanking God for Priscilla and Aquila and their influence in his life, but there's this whole group of churches that God had used the Apostle Paul to start and to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ that are also thanking God for Aquila and Priscilla because of their impact on him that then impacted their life through the life of the Apostle Paul. All because they stuck their neck out for Paul when no one else did. And I wonder this morning who is in our life that God might be leading us to stick our neck out for and to see with the eyes of grace when no one else is. Or I wonder this morning if some of you are in part of a ministry here at Encounter already and you love being a part of it, and who might be someone in your life that you could invite along with you. And maybe they haven't been able to see yet how God can use their life, but you could invite them along with you as you are serving the Lord as a part of something in your life. Or maybe there's someone in your life who they really just feel like they don't have a lot to give yet to the Lord, but you can come alongside them and say, yes, God has actually made you to be a part of what he's doing here at Encounter, and you can encourage them along the way. And I love verse 5 as well, because it actually gives people a whole lot of hope when you've been trying to share Christ with someone for like 20 years and you haven't seen any fruit yet, or you've invited 20 people to church and not one of them has come to church yet. Verse 5 is for you. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. Greet also the church in their house, that's Aquila and Priscilla's house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. The first person in all of Asia to come to know Jesus as their Savior. I am fairly certain that the Apostle Paul did not sleep that night. He is up all night just praising God and saying, oh Lord, after all these miles and after all of this seed planting, the first one to accept the Lord. And I know as I look around the room, we have a group of firsts within our church family. There's some of you in this room, and you were the first in your marriage to come to know Jesus, and then you brought him into your marriage. There's some of you in this room, you were the first in your family, and now God is using you with your family. Or there's some of you in this room, you were the first among your coworkers, or the first among your neighborhood, or your sports team. And as a result, now there's other people around you, probably even in this room, because you let the Lord use your life. And if you happen to be sitting here today, and you're sitting near a first who invited you to church or invited you into the Lord, I say just nudge them right now. And just like as a holy thanks to the Lord today, just saying, thank you for being the first who then invited me in my relationship with the Lord together today, in being one of those people that began to trust Jesus Christ, that he did something in our place on the cross that we couldn't do with dramatic results. Where we come to believe that he didn't just die for the sins of the world, but he actually died for our sins. and invite him into our life as our Savior, where we put all of our trust in him, and we're no longer trusting in our good intentions or even our good behavior or our church attendance, or no longer dabbling in the religions of the world, but come to this place where you're like, man, there's only one person I need to worship in this world, and it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I've been saved by grace, his gift of grace in my life. And then look at what Paul says as he talks about Mary. This is one of my favorites in this passage. He says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Mary is on his list of roll call of faith because Mary worked hard. She was there when everybody else quit. Mary's the one that after a small group meeting with the apostle Paul, she's like, hey, Paul, you go home. I'm going to reset the room for the next group. You know, you're tired. I got this. And the apostle Paul was probably like, hey, Mary, I know you're tired too. I'll stay and do it with you. She's like, no, Paul, you're not staying. You're riding on a donkey halfway across Asia tomorrow. I got this for you. You see, Mary is like that person who is the first one to come to a room on this campus and get it ready for a Bible study or a recovery group or some event. They're also the last one to leave because they're resetting it for the next group. Mary is like the people in this room who you have a Bible study or a meeting in your home and you're getting your house clean hours before everybody come and you're the last one up at night doing dishes after everybody else has left. Mary is like the people who on Christmas Eve, after we have our last Christmas Eve service, when everybody else is at home sipping hot chocolate and sitting by the fire, there's always this group of people who remain behind and they help everybody put everything away so that the team can go home earlier that night on Christmas Eve. Mary worked hard and that's who she is. And Paul remembers others who worked hard for the Lord. And by the way, she doesn't work hard for her faith. She works hard from her faith with joy. This is how Paul says it in verse 12. He says, greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis who has worked hard in the Lord as well. So you have these heroes of the gospel. Many times their names are unnoticed, they're unknown, they're uncelebrated, and yet what the Bible's showing us here is God sees them. Heaven sees them. And Paul is honoring them, and their names are now honored for all eternity. And I wonder this morning how some of you, maybe it's your time to jump onto one of the many ministry teams here at Encounter, or maybe you've been on a team and you're ready for a change, but there's actually a little handout in the seat backs in front of you. It says, want to serve handout. We have all kinds of ministry teams that you can be a part of. Some of them meet weekly. Some are every other week. Some are once a month. There's so many things to choose from. I'm going to highlight just a couple this morning. One is our middle school ministry on Sunday mornings at 10:45. It's a growing ministry at the 10:45 hour. Do you know that more people come to Christ today in middle school than any other age? Than any other age. Talk about being on the front line of gospel ministry when you're a middle school worker of some kind or servant. Another one I would highlight for our church right now is on Sunday morning at Encounter Kids. We just need some servants to help out there to love children as part of Encounter Kids. And you can serve in all different kinds of capacities. But the point of this list is that some of the people on this list are upfront leaders. Some of them are behind-the-scenes servants, but most of them are probably the ones that would never have wanted their names mentioned, but now their name is being honored for all eternity to the glory of God in this passage. And then look at when Paul talks about Rufus and his mother in his gospel roll call, verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. I love that. He's like, hey, make sure you say hi to my buddy Rufus. Make sure you say hello to Rufus. And oh yeah, say hi to Rufus's mom as well, because she's my mom too. Somewhere along the way, this woman of God had earned the title of being mom to the Apostle Paul. I wonder if he stayed in her home. It's really special what Paul is expressing here. And He's talking about how there's this way which the Lord brings spiritual parents into our life, spiritual influencers into our life, and they come in all different shapes and sizes and seasons, but they seem to come just when we need them, if we're willing to see who they are that God has brought into our life in that moment. And I wonder this morning who in this room, you know, who the Lord wants you to be a spiritual influence on in your life right now, because people have encountered, this is not just a list, this is a roll call of the gospel story around the Apostle Paul. And here's the truth, we all have one of these lists in our life. All of us. And all of us are a part of this list as we're a part of the greater story that Jesus is writing around us. And so don't call this just a list, because these names in Romans 16, they're extremely personal to the Apostle Paul, because not only is he greeting them, but in many ways he's also actually saying goodbye to them, because he's on his way to Jerusalem to bring a gift to the church there that was in need. And the Apostle Paul knows that there is hostility waiting for him back in Jerusalem because of his faith now in Jesus Christ. He knows that his life will be threatened. In fact, just a few verses before, at the end of chapter 15, he says this in verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. He's like, so pray with me. Agonize with me that my life will be spared when I go to Jerusalem because of being attacked for his faith in Christ. And we know from the Bible and from church history that he does go to Jerusalem and bring this gift. He does end up in Rome, just not the way that everybody expected. He's going to end up in Rome in chains. He's going to be in prison for his faith. We know from church history he would be executed in Rome. And so these are actually not just names. These are people that Paul is thinking about when he's not sure he's going to see anybody again. These are the people that are listed here. And, excuse me. Encounter family, hear this from the Word of God today. Our fellowship in Christ is a fellowship of names. It is. Our fellowship in the Lord is a fellowship of names, and the kingdom of God is built through a series of these Holy Spirit connected relationships where he takes ordinary, everyday people who are willing to use their gifts and their passions and their joys and their time for the Lord to be used in extraordinary ways for the glory of God. And the gospel never travels by accident. It never travels by abstraction. It always arrives through people who choose to love and to invest and to share and to pray and to give. And so often it's unseen and even sometimes unnoticed by the crowd. But these people who are unseen are so often the ones that are just worshiping the Lord, front and center with their life, and just giving what they have to give to the Lord. People with names like Bob Ellis. Bob Ellis, are you in the room today? There he is, right there in the back row. Bob is a part of our greeting team. Do you know that Bob is here every Sunday greeting people? I mean, he just shows up every Sunday as he's been showing up for this church family for years and years in so many different ways. And just like the Apostle Paul gave thanks to people in the Church of Rome, this morning I say thank you, God, for being Bob Ellis in our church. And thank you for all the people who are like you, Bob. Or I think of people like Christine Davis, who shows up with love at the many different women's events that we have. And Christine has this saying that she's known for. She'll say this when she walks to a women's event: put me where you need me. Which usually means she gets stuck in places like the sound booth during a wild Bible study where no one really knows that you're back there. But thank God for the Christines of our church and everybody who is like her. Yeah, we give her a hand. Or I think of someone like Kathy Harner and Katie Gyrock, who make and write cards and send them to people when we find out they're sick as part of our encouragers ministry. Faithful, faithful encouragers of the Lord. Thank you, God, for the Kathys and the Katies of our church family and everybody like them. Or I think of Veronica Escobedo, who takes care and leads our Treasured Harvest ministry to migrant children during the week. And as a result of her ministry and people with her, there's now parents in that community who are asking them, how do I lead a Bible study with my children? Thank you, Veronica, for your ministry. Or I think of Michaela Bryson. It's her first year in being a group leader, a core group leader, as part of our student ministry team. And it's her first time doing it. And she shows up all the time on Wednesday nights. And she just asks, man, how can I love students tonight? Thank you, the Michaelas of our church. We are thankful for you. Or I think of Ernie and Cheryl Parsons. There they are, sitting right over here. You know, it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what trails in your life behind you here on a Sunday morning. But when Cheryl and Ernie are greeting people, you are going to be welcomed into the Lord. And they have this gift of welcoming people from the street to the feet of Christ in worship. And so we say thank you, Ernie and Cheryl, for your ministry and everybody like you. Or I think of John and Rachel Fernandez, who took a huge step of faith this last year and started a group, a Bible study group for first responders and military personnel, all while navigating being the parents of young children. Thank you, John and Rachel, for your ministry and your step of faith. Or I think of Sebastian De Vicente, who plays bass. And he plays bass for our students on Wednesday nights. He occasionally plays bass for us here, for our entire church family. He's a high school student. And he's a high school student with a mature faith because he's using what God has given him to make music for the Lord so that the church can worship him. Thank you, God, for the Sebastians of our church. And one more here. Penny Wickern, who helps out weekly with our children's ministry behind the scenes. You'll never see Penny, what she does. She does it all behind the scenes. But what you will see are a little over 100 children on Sunday morning having a fantastic time working with the activities that she works on as they're getting to know the Lord and being encouraged in their faith. So thank you for the Pennies of our church family. We give the Lord a hand this morning. Our fellowship is a fellowship of names. And behind every changed life is a faithful name that is living for the name of Jesus. And look at how this passage closes. Paul ends it and he says in verse 16, all the churches of Christ greet you. He starts with gratitude. He ends with gratitude. He's thanking God for all these names on his list. The churches that he planted are thanking God for all the names on this list. And that is how the book of Romans ends. Think about this. You have this towering masterpiece of theology in this book of the Bible. I mean, we are talking about topics like justification by faith, you know, hope in suffering, life in the Spirit, predestination. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. And how does this book of the Bible end? With names. Because theology is never meant to stay abstract. It is always personal. And grace is never meant to stay theoretical. It is always relational. And the story of Jesus always ends with people. And it begs the question, someday when someone is in heaven and they're giving glory to God for their gospel list someday in heaven and going down their list before the Lord and giving Jesus all the credit, I wonder whose name will be on their list. Will our name be on their list? Maybe not even because we knew them face to face. Maybe we served and prayed, you know, behind the scenes in some ministry that encouraged them. Maybe we prayed for the community they lived in. We may never meet them face to face, but then in heaven they know, because somewhere along the way, we chose to stick our neck out and risk and to serve and to love and to greet, and to invite, and to teach, and to sing, and to play, and to write, and to encourage. I mean, just go down the list, and to pray. in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Before I close this together, I invite you to take a moment and just thank the Lord, even if you're just getting started and your list is short, to thank the Lord for the people on your gospel roll call list. Just thank the Lord for them by name. Give him praise for them. Pray for them. And as you're sitting there before the Lord this morning, just ask him. You might already be serving in some ministry, or maybe you're not on one of the ministry teams of Encounter. And move past all your excuses for a moment and just ask the Lord, where would you want me to serve, Lord? And make a commitment to fill out that little card and put it in the offering in just a few minutes as your sacrifice of praise today. Lord, I get emotional this morning as I thank you for the people who stuck their neck out for me in my journey of faith. I thank you for the people who risked and sacrificed time and invested and gave and encouraged. And Lord, we thank you for this special group of names in the book of Romans that you celebrate for your glory for all eternity. And Lord, as we do that, we give you thanks for your great name this morning, knowing that you are the one that transforms lives and that we just get to come alongside of this beautiful, beautiful story that you're writing. And Lord, as a church, as we look to the next season, God, we just pray for a whole lot of firsts. People who come to know the Lord for the first time, people who begin to grow exponentially for the first time as they invite you to shape them, people who come to church for the first time. And Lord, we pray for all those who will be sitting around them in the future, but in faith, we pray for those names that we don't even know yet, Lord. And we just say thank you for being the great name that we get to worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.